Does God know we're meeting here this morning?
Amen.
He sure does. He already knows the end of the class. I don't, but he do. He already knows. Well, it fascinates me about his foreknowledge. You see, people say, well, how can you believe that when Jesus Christ was crucified at Calvary and buried and rose again the third day, that you were crucified with him, buried with him, and risen again with him, and ascended up on high, seated at the right hand of God the Father? You know how I can believe that? By faith in this book right here.
Amen.
Now, I can't pick up an NIV. And by the way, I was reading Day Springs Baptist Church. Y'all know where it's at? There. Now listen. Praise God for this building we meet in.
Amen.
Do you know what Day Springs Baptist Church's weekly bill is? $40,000 a week.
Yes.
And you know what book they use?
The NIV.
The NIV. Ain't that ridiculous? Listen to me. This Bible is very clear. If you support that stuff, you're supporting their evil deeds.
Amen.
And if you shouldn't support people that don't preach the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, or use the 1611 King James Bible.
Amen.
They're not preaching God's Word. And you can't build your faith up in Satan's book. You got to build it up by hearing the Word of God. Well, the only place you're going to find the Word of God is in a 1611 King James Bible written down with black ink. Now, a lot of times you'll have red ink in there because they say that's officially the Word of God. But I believe every word from Genesis all the way through Revelation is inspired by God.
Amen.
Every bit of it. Everything that's in this book, God allowed it to be put in here. Even the lives of Satan, God had that allowed to be put in this so we can compare his word against Satan's word. Now, in Romans chapter 16, anybody got anything you want to say before we get started? Appreciate you being here. If you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you now for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us before the foundation of the world and you saw fit that we needed a Savior and couldn't save ourselves, and there's no way that we could get good enough to be in your presence. So you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for us and pay for all of our sins. And we thank you for this truth, Lord, and we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, most of all, we ask you to get honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, in Romans 16, verse 25. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now, he did not say, now to him that is power to establish you according to Jesus' ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He did not say, according to the gospel of the 12 apostles. He said, establish you according to my gospel. Well, Paul wrote his gospel down in the books of Romans to Philemon. 13 books the apostle Paul wrote to the church, the body of Christ, and he told us to rightly divide the word of truth. And that is for a reason. Now, verse 25 again. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Well, did God know that secret? He sure did. Did he know that the apostle Paul would have to be the apostle that the Lord would appear to and give him this dispensation that we now live in? And in Acts 18, the Lord appeared to the apostle Paul in the temple and gave him a message for us Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise. Did God know us? He told me that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. He knew me before the foundation of the world. Well, whatever that is, before that time, God Almighty already knew the church, the body of Christ, didn't he?
Yeah.
He already knew that Jesus Christ would have to come into the world to die for men. He already knew that he was going to give Israel a law and that they could not keep it. Now, Israel had the law for 1,500 years. And according to Acts chapter 7, they received the law by the disposition of angels. And before the law was given by Moses, people from Moses back knew something in their conscience about the law. You can see that in Genesis 9 and Leviticus 18 and 19 about Ham going into his father and seeing his father's nakedness. That is written in the law in Leviticus that you're not supposed to look on the nakedness of your father and your mother and your kinfolk. Stuff like that is named in there. And the two sons, Shem and Japheth, went in backwards and covered the nakedness of their father, and Ham went out and gossiped about it.
Well, Cain knew about it too.
Yes, he sure did.
He knew because he covered his brother over, tried to hide it.
Yeah. Well, when Cain is talked about, he's of that wicked one. Cain was of the devil. So the devil was in the Garden of Eden. Did God create the devil?
Amen.
He said he did.
He
He's a created being. Did God know that he would turn from him? Did God know the 12 apostles that were given to Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Of course.
He said so in Isaiah. He said, there are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts. Did he know Judas Iscariot?
Yes.
Did he know Satan would enter into him?
Yes.
He sure did. There ain't nothing God don't know.
Amen.
So don't worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
You know, we're creatures of bad habits. And we tend to worry about things that we can't do anything about. So why worry about it? Why not just trust the Lord that everything's going to work to our good? You know why? If you're the called according to his purpose, in Romans chapter 8, we are called to be conformed to the image of his son. Now listen to me. When this body of believers were resurrected with him, will we conform to the image of his son?
Amen.
He's already glorified us.
Amen.
Seated in the heavenly places. So I'm waiting for the rapture, for my vile body to be changed. The Lord's going to meet me in the air, and then so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if you ain't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you won't go out in the rapture. And if you miss the rapture and go into the tribulation, God's going to send you a strong delusion, which is the Antichrist. You will believe this man right here, and when you do, you lose your eternal life. And if you go into the tribulation, in other words, like these 12 back here, he trained them in several places back in Matthew 16:25 and other places. He that loses his life, in other words, if he resists the mark of the beast or his name, they will be killed, but then they will be resurrected to go into the kingdom over here. But if they take the mark of the beast to save their physical life, and I guarantee you, I'd be willing to guarantee you, if you go into the tribulation, you will take the mark of the beast.
Absolutely.
You will be damned when you do. God said so in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Why? Because you were bad? Because you wouldn't receive the love of the truth that you might be saved. What is the most important thing, whether you understand right division or not, the most important thing is, have you ever believed that Jesus Christ died for you?
Amen.
Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that a fact?
Yes.
Did God know that before the foundation of the world?
Yes.
Well, does God know who will trust His Son as their Savior?
Amen.
And if you did, based on His foreknowledge, you already resurrected with Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now, all of this, Paul said, to establish you according to my gospel. Well, what is Paul's gospel?
Christ died
for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Ain't that what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4?
Amen.
What is our... What does Paul tell us in Ephesians 1:13? In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, after that you believed, ye were sealed unto the day of redemption. You understand? We're sealed until the day of redemption. Now, can you get out of that?
No,
you can't. You're sealed until that day. There ain't nothing you can do to get out of that. You're there.
Praise the Lord.
You will go out in the rapture, regardless. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to read one verse in Romans 16, verse 25 again, so we'll pick up where we're looking at and what's going on. Verse 25, 2 Corinthians, excuse me. Romans 16, verse 25. Now, to him, I'm interested in who the him is. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Well, who does the establishing?
God.
Based on his foreknowledge. When you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, God already knew you would. So knowing that you would, he resurrected you with him. So now you need to be established by Paul's gospel. Now you can sit in a church that preaches the gospel for salvation and never get established. You understand? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 9. Now that he ascended, talking about Jesus Christ now, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. You know, they can show Freeman, what's his first name? Morgan Freeman. They can show Morgan Freeman in the wormhole till the hell freezes over. I'm already above all heaven.
Amen.
You understand? I don't give a flip about looking for no wormhole. Jesus Christ has already carried his body to the throne room of God Almighty.
Amen.
Now, whether he went through a wormhole or not, I don't care how he got there. I know he said he ascended up. But what did he do first? He descended. So that answers a question to me. I don't know about you. You may not have this question, but I did. The thief that was crucified, there were two thieves crucified when Jesus Christ was crucified. And one of them said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus Christ said, this day will thou be with me in paradise. Where did Jesus Christ go that day? He went down. Now, where did Paul say that he went? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said he went to paradise. He went above all heavens. So there's two paradises. There's one down there, Abraham's bosom. For those back here, And over here, there is one for the church, the body of Christ, and it is above all heavens, paradise. So if you intend to go to paradise, what are y'all? I see Hawaii. Somebody say paradise. What do they think? Hawaii, man. If I could just get to Hawaii, everything would be fine. No. Grass ain't so much greener on the other side of all of them.
Same problems.
Y'all ever watch these programs that buying Hawaii and buying the bio and all that kind of stuff? And they showed them people down there, and they're nuts. Going to Hawaii and spending thousands of dollars. And there was a interview of one couple, they were looking at this house. And that man said, the ground is smoking over there. And I'm thinking, well, you idiot. You're standing on a volcano. I mean, you gotta be nuts. You're gonna spend thousands of dollars for a house sitting on top of a volcano.
Go out and have a barbecue.
And wonder why the ground is smoking. You gotta be nuts. But you know, that's the way humans are. You try to preach the gospel to people and they say, well, you know, we believe in following Jesus back in Adel. They can't follow Jesus.
No.
Nor can we. It ain't meant for us to be followers of Jesus.
Then you had to die for us.
This dispensation has ceased. And I suspect after Acts 15, you don't see anything out of Peter no more. You see the Apostle Paul and Silas and them. And by the way, Barnabas left Paul in Acts 15. You do know that, don't you? So, Barnabas, I sometimes wonder if Barnabas ain't the one that wrote the book of Hebrews. What do you think about that?
That's a good suggestion.
But won't you study that out and see? You know, I believe God done that just to let people hang themselves. You know the old saying, give a man enough rope and he'll hang himself. I believe God puts things in this book for just people to hang themselves. Now back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Well, the saints need to be perfected?
Yes.
Well, if you're saved, you're a saint.
Amen.
So what do you need to be perfected in? In Paul's gospel. So establish you in Paul's gospel. Now let's look at something. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7 with me. 2 Samuel chapter 7. You'll have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and 1 and 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I like to check out first mention of words in your Bible. Now, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and the context is Nathan being sent to David. Go to verse 4 just to pick up the context. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? And he tells him some things there. Now verse 10, moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and that's to be the second coming, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more, as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. And I want you to, if you're taking notes or putting reference in your Bible like I do, you ought to reference Hebrews chapter 3 right there. In the book of Hebrews chapter 3, the writer said, I tell you what to do. Hold your place and let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at that. I might misquote it. I don't want to do that. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. they'll identify the people that's involved in the book of Hebrews. It ain't the church, the body of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoice in the hope firm unto the end. Well, am I looking to be a house?
Body.
I'm a body. I'm a member of his body, of his flesh and his bone. And that body is already seated in heaven, and it ain't going to change. Regardless of what I do, I can't change that body. It's a sealed deal above all heavens in Christ. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 7. So this house, I suspect you'll find them in the book of Hebrews there. Verse 6, whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now, come over for time's sake. Verse 12, and when thy days, David, when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, well, is David going to ascend up to heaven? You know where he's going? He's going down in paradise, sleeping in the bosom of Abraham down there. And when thy days be fulfilled, and I sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and this is exactly what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. Don't let the people that follow Peter pull your leg. Peter ain't preaching to the church, the body of Christ. The message in Acts chapter 2 is for Israel. Verse 29, Acts 2:29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David the prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Where did he go the first day? Went to hell, didn't he? A sinner went to hell, but God forgave him all of my trespasses and resurrected him and his body, which I am a member of his body. Now, verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and have received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he, Jesus, hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens. Hold the fort now. Are we ascended into the heavens?
Amen.
We sure are with Christ Jesus. But this David? No, he ain't there yet. He's going to go in over here after the tribulation sometime over here. In the resurrection, as in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. There's two resurrections there. The resurrection of the just and the unjust at the great white throne. Now in this context here, go back to 2nd, and I tell you what, dude, don't go to Samuel. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Let's do it there. Deuteronomy 27. Alright, let's start in verse 1. Let's go to verse 1, and I'm going to skip around a little bit so you can go home and read the whole chapter when you get home. Now, verse 1, and Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, And it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, that thou mightest go into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be when ye are gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. Now verse 8. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And Moses and the priest, the Levite, spake unto all Israel, saying, Take heed, hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Go to chapter 28. We'll start in verse 9. Is God establishing Israel back here?
Yes.
How's he establishing them?
In the law.
Now, in Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. And the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he, the Lord, hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth, now pay attention to this verse. You ought to mark it, underline it, highlight it, do something. Because you're going to see these signs all over the world in people's yards. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 14, here it is. Pay attention to it. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 28, verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. Who is they talking to? Talking to Israel, ain't it?
Yes.
So 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people which are called by my name would repent and turn from their ungodliness and their evil ways, then I would come and heal their land. When is God going to heal their land? When they turn from transgression in Jacob, God said in Isaiah chapter 59, this is my covenant unto them, Jeremiah 30, and when I will take away their sins. Beloved, our sins are gone.
Amen.
Jesus Christ left our sins in hell, and they are done with. God does not see them anymore. When he looks down here and sees the church, the body of Christ, he sees his sinless son. Why? Because I'm in his son.
Amen.
I'm not in the law. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hold chapter 28. Hold Deuteronomy 28. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let me show you something. So I know how Israel was established. And it's going to come up in just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. You see all these promises?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We ain't in the covenant.
Amen.
We had no hope until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel. Those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, they had a hope. But when Israel became lo, am I not God's people, then nobody had a hope. If Paul hadn't preached the mystery of the gospel, wouldn't nobody have ever got saved after Israel fell and became not God's people? They would have started the tribulation. But you know what Paul told us in Colossians chapter 1? He filled up the word of God for us Gentiles. And you know what he said in chapter 1, verse 27 of Colossians? Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, do I have a hope now? Do people have a hope now?
Yes.
Just by the mystery of the gospel. not by 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1 through 4, but the mystery of 1 Corinthians 15 1 through 4. It's the mystery of the gospel that was hid in the scriptures back here. It's the mystery that was hid in God, and God knew it before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And he knew who was going to take it. And Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have kept the faith. He kept the faith. What if Paul had dropped the ball? Blood, we got a lot of grace preachers that are dropping the ball today. They are scared to tell people that there's two groups of people in Romans to Philemon because they don't know it themselves. If they do know it, they're ashamed to tell it because they may lose fellowship with somebody. Well, I don't give a flip about fellowship with somebody that don't believe the book.
Amen.
I could care less about fellowshipping with them. Paul said, count them not as an enemy, but admonish them as a brother.
Amen.
Why? That they might be ashamed of themselves. Well, there ain't no shame in people today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8. Well, I apologize. Let's go to verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and all thy soul and all thy might. Well, you can't do that. That's part of the law.
Yep.
And Paul told those Galatians who first trusted in Christ, if you're circumcised, you're debtor to do the whole law.
Amen.
Now, verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, verse 8 is very important. And thou shalt bind them, the law, for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as footlets between thine eyes. You know what? If they take the mark of the beast, or the number of his name, or his name in their forehead, or have a chip in their hand that's got 666 on it, you know what they're going to do? They'll save their physical life, but then they're going to die and go to hell. If they resist the devil, if they don't take the mark, they'll have eternal life. They'll lose their physical life, but they'll have eternal life. Jesus Christ trained these people that follow him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, take up your cross and follow me. And I heard a preacher trying to preach that, take up your cross and follow me. He ain't got the foggiest idea what Jesus was telling him.
Amen.
He ain't got the first idea that that cross leads to death.
Yeah.
Y'all do know that Jesus Christ died on a borrowed cross, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
It was Barabbas' cross. And y'all do know that the people caused Simeon, or however you pronounce his name, to carry that cross to Calvary for Jesus. Jesus Christ ain't carrying that cross. They commanded somebody else to carry that cross. Why? It ain't his. It's mine. It's my cross. It's your cross. It's every sinner in the world that knows that what Jesus Christ did at Calvary, that belonged to me. It was mine. I'm the one that deserved it, not Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But God, who is rich in mercy, Ephesians 2:4, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He didn't say after you repented of your sin.
Amen.
He said even when you were dead in your sin. Ain't got nothing to do with you repenting of your sins. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with having a repentant attitude after you get saved. I know every one of you probably fly off the handle sometime and you know, I didn't handle that right. I didn't do that right. I heard Brother Moore talking about a situation in a home dealing with a lady, and she brought her Bible to him, and it wasn't the 1611 King James Bible. And he was in a class, that's where it was, in a class in somebody else's home. And he throwed that thing on the floor and said, that lady never would come back. He said, I did wrong. Was he sorry for doing that?
Yeah.
Certainly was. Yeah. I know every one of us do things that's not sometimes the best way to handle a situation. Sometimes we don't have the patience that we should have with people. You see, I never was brought up in a religious system. I didn't have to forget a whole lot. All I had to do was add to what I had. And thank God I did. Thank God I saw the truth. Now look at verse 25 for time's sake here. I know the law is a sign, and I know in verse 8 there that a sign belongs to Israel. Now verse 25, and it, this law, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Was the law Israel's righteousness?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Well, let's just check out what old brother saw. You can drop Deuteronomy. We ain't going to go back there. Go to Acts chapter 13. We ain't going to go back to Deuteronomy. They ain't no needing to getting on it too much here. Now, verse Acts 13, verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch and Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets and the rulers and of the synagogue, sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Well, don't you expect they were reading some of the stuff we was reading back then in Deuteronomy? And I expect they were. They were reading the law.
Mm-hmm.
Go to verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, the man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Hey, beloved, you just got through reading the law in the synagogue. What did Paul do? Say, you can't be justified by that no more. Why? Go to Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10. Let me show you why. Verse 1, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Why would they have a zeal with God? Chapter 3, he said, what advantage hath the Jew? In verse 1, he said, much everywhere, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. The law was committed to them. So they had an advantage. They had God with them. You're my people. I'm going to dwell among you. You will be a kingdom of priests and a royal priesthood, a holy nation, if you keep all these laws. And it will be your righteousness. Now watch what Paul says there, Romans chapter 10. Verse 2, for I bear them record, Israel, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Boy, there's a lot of that going on in the world today. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, they got a terrific zeal for religion. But you try to teach them the Word of God right and divided, they ain't got no knowledge. They fall by the wayside. Now watch verse 3. For they, these people that ain't got no knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness. What would they be trying to establish their righteousness in?
The
law, wouldn't it? Didn't Paul tell them in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law? Didn't he try to tell them that in Acts chapter 13, verse 38, after the reading of the law? Said, you can't be justified by the law. Didn't he tell Peter that in Acts 15? We who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, watch what he does here. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law. For righteousness to everyone that keepeth the law.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what the world, that's what the old schemes of the world are telling you to do.
Yeah.
My Bible says Christ is the end of the law. Where's my righteousness at? It's in Him. It's His righteousness. Like Paul said in Philippians, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith of Jesus Christ. So it's our faith in His faith. Go to Romans chapter 3. Is Christ the end of the law?
Amen.
It sure is. Well, why would I want to tell you to keep the law? Romans chapter 3, verse 25, in reference to Jesus Christ, verse 24. Well, let's read verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. What do we put our faith in? That when He shed His blood at Calvary, that was payment enough. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Well, how can you follow God today?
By
following Paul. You can't follow God today by following Jesus' earthly ministry or one of the 12's ministry. You can follow God through the following of Jesus Christ as Paul followed Christ. Now, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Was Jesus Christ a satisfied sacrifice?
Amen.
He sure was. You know what happened to Nadab and Abihu back in the Old Testament in Leviticus? They offered strange fire on the altar. There's an altar back there that the priesthood kept fire burning continually. Could not let it go out. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire on it, and God killed them, Aaron's two sons. Aaron the high priest, Nadab and Abihu the priest. You know who the priests were in Malachi? They were the messengers of God. They were to keep the law, teach the law to these people, show them what to do and what not to do, and if they broke it, they could show them what kind of sacrifice they could bring. And on the altar, the fire would consume it. They offered strange fire, and God killed them. And in so many words, He told Aaron to keep your mouth shut, don't even open your mouth. When God does something, don't open your mouth. Don't argue against God. If you don't agree with me, get in the book and see if they're saying what the book says.
Amen.
If I'm saying what the book says, I'm saying what God said, not what I want to say. It may be displeasing to somebody in here if I talk about your religion. But let me tell you something. Your religion won't save you.
Amen.
You can go to church every time the door's open, join the church, pay your tithes, keep the law. The only thing that'll save you is the death of Jesus Christ and your faith in that death at Calvary. So if I talk about your religion, don't get mad at me. Get mad at the Lord. Take it up with the Lord. Lord, why did you do this? Do you know what God told Israel back here? When you go into these lands back here in Exodus, He said, don't do after them people.
Amen.
He said, tear down their altars, tear down their idols, burn them, get rid of them, don't have nothing to do with them. You know what Israel did? They got right in the middle of it. Well, we want to be like everybody else. That's where your grace churches are going today, beloved. Don't make no mistake about it. They're going in the way of religion. They want to be like everybody else. Why? Well, we can have harmony, live together in peace. No, you can't. The only way, and I saw this years ago, it didn't take but one trip. I saw this on Thanksgiving years ago, South Brooklyn, United Pastoral Group. Grace preacher involved in it, a member of it. Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Church of Christ, and I forget who else, Methodists, I know they were there. And I don't remember who, and then there were some Mormons, not Mormons, what's that group that's on behind where Brill's store used to be, Millerites? They're still down there. Yeah, they were involved in this thing. And the only, listen to me, the only way that you can be in harmony with that type of group of people is to forsake what God said.
Amen.
You can't be allied with that kind of stuff and be in harmony with them when they don't preach what Paul preaches.
Amen.
Can't do it. It'll never work. It won't work. It's not right. So what did Paul tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Come out from among them. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will save you. You know what God told Israel over here in the tribulation? Come out from among her, that great whore, a religious system, the mother of harlots. Come out from among her, be ye separate, and I will receive you. What do they got to do? There's some virgins over there, and they not. And I know that people teach you that they're virgins because they wasn't married. That's a crock of bull. They are virgins because they wasn't allied with that great whore, that religious woman. Balaam. Back here in the Old Testament, God warned them what would happen if they did it. He said, I'll put 7 times more plagues on you than I did on Israel. I mean Egypt. 7 times more plagues? You wonder why Hitler killed them by the thousands? You wonder why the Jews have been trampled down? And old Haggai out yonder, he's trying to tell you that if you'll send some money, and he shows these poor old hungry Jews, I can find some hungry folks right here in the United States. I ain't got to go over there to Israel or wherever them Jews is at and show them sitting there starving to death, can't buy them medication. Well, I imagine there's a lot of folks in this country right here that in the same boat.
Now he wants you to send it by the way of his address.
Right. Well, you can't send it direct to them because they don't give you an address. It's a scam. And I watched a preacher the other day, and I don't even know his name. I got so damn blame mad, I just had to turn the thing off. The old TV is about wore out anyways. And I can't afford nothing. Them things are getting expensive, y'all know that? Especially when you've got to have them great old big ones. I can't have them little bitty ones no more. Okay? On the side of the whole wall. This fellow was in a foreign country. He was healing people. He showed this man that wheeled him down in the wheelchair. This man prayed over and he looked at the camera and said, you skeptics out yonder. He's talking about me already. He said, you skeptics out there said, God does still heal people. Well, I know God can heal you. I know God can do anything he wants to. There ain't nothing, Jeremiah said 2 times, there ain't nothing too hard for God to do. God asked Jeremiah a question. He said, Jeremiah, can I do this? He said, oh Lord, you know you can do this. Ain't nothing you can't do. That man jumped up and started hooping and hollering and running around in there. I don't know whether he was crippled or not. You know what comes to my mind? And my wife and daughter and her sister, they know about this. We was up at Nashville on vacation. My daughter, we had a wheelchair for my daughter to get around in. Well, she had got up. My son and his cousin, Wanda's youngest son, not youngest child, but youngest son, he was sitting in the wheelchair. My son, Chris, was pushing him around. One of them performers felt sorry for him, signed the record and gave it to him. And my wife, she said, now you going to give that to Carol. I think Carol, So I don't know if that fellow that got healed was crippled or not. I know that Gary wasn't crippled.
But Gary's afraid to get out of the
wheelchair. He was scared to get up. We had to leave. Oh, well, I thought about that. And every time I think about that, it's funny, but that fellow up there doing the singing and performing, he didn't know that child wasn't crippled. Couldn't look at him and tell. I couldn't look at that man that jumped up out of that wheelchair. I don't know if that man healed him or not. Well, I got so mad I turned him off. I get a letter to her from St. Jude's and I can't even read it. I feel sorry for him, and I just can't even read it. It is just terrible, especially when you see these people that claim they can heal and all, and you couldn't drag them in St. Jude with a wild horse of teams, a team of wild horses. Right? That's sad. It just don't make no sense to me. Now, who does the establishing? God Almighty does. How does He establish you? Will God establish you in this doctrine in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or in Genesis through Malachi?
No.
Will He establish you in Hebrews through Revelation?
No.
No, He won't. He'll establish you in Romans to Philemon, rightly divided. Why? Because Paul's gospel has to be rightly divided. Part of it was hid in the scriptures. The last seven books he wrote was hidden to people, and you know, I kind of hesitate when I say they written to people, because Philippians was written over here in the last seven epistles, and Paul knew them in Acts 16. Some of them even got baptized in the river. Now, but the last books that he wrote to people that had no hope. And when you read that in Ephesians chapter 2 there, verse 12, had no hope. If Paul hadn't have put "had no hope" in that verse, you couldn't separate them. They'd have been the same as these who first trusted in Christ. They had a hope. So all the time, back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, early Acts, and on through the end of the book of Acts 28, people had a hope. But when Israel became not God's people, no hope. But now, in Christ, we all have a hope. What is that hope? It's called the mystery of the gospel. You got a grace preacher that lived in this town that wrote his articles about, and that's why I'm scared to write, because I may mess up. He wrote the many names of the gospel of Christ, what it's called. No, it ain't just called. This is a mystery hid in God, and He never put that in His book. All the mystery to Him, the same as a lot of the grace preachers nowadays, was hid in the scriptures. Now, go with me to Galatians chapter 3, and let me show you something. Galatians chapter 3. Y'all remember that God promised David back there of his seed, of David's seed?
Mm-hmm.
So the seed started with Abraham and them back here. Okay? It comes all the way across to a point over here when the seed came. Now listen to what he says here. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed. What does Abraham, was he promised back here that his seed would outnumber the stars of heaven? Said if you can count the sand on the seashore, then you can count your seed. Well, what's he saying here? Abraham and his seed. Not seed. Seed. Watch how this thing works. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. is Christ the seed
yes.
that was promised back here in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. I'll put enmity between you, the devil, your seed and her seed, Eve, the woman. Jesus Christ came through that lineage. Here he is. What did they do? They rejected him. They said, we'll have no king but Caesar. They crucified him. Through that crucifixion, these who first trusted in Christ, according to the scriptures, could believe that Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, would justify them, and they did not have to keep the law. They did not have to get circumcised to be a proselyte, a Jew. No, a Gentile, Romans 2:17, a Gentile that is called a Jew. It didn't make him a Jew. He's called a Jew. What's he doing? He's keeping the law. He's in the synagogue. He's got to be allied with Israel. He's got to be a believer of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they did so. And now, when that Israel became Lo Amni, no hope for mankind until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel, which is very clear. It's the mystery of Christ. When Christ died at Calvary, he also died for us, and nobody knew it but God Almighty. And Paul didn't know it when he wrote the first six epistles. Now, he knew about in Acts 18, but he didn't tell nobody until Acts 20, and he didn't write it down until after Acts 28. You understand? After Acts 28, he wrote to these people and said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and loved all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention to you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And that's my prayer for you, that you can be established in Paul's gospel, rightly divided. Because if you don't rightly divide it, you're going to get in trouble. So today, I'm going to pass this waste can over here, and we're going to take up a collection, and you better dig deep, because there's a lot of Jews over there that you need to bless. And Paul said it's your duty to do so. Why? Because you've been made partakers of their evil deeds. You see, if we don't rightly divide Paul's epistles, how we can get in trouble? We ain't going to take up no collection for them Jews. God's going to take care of them. He's going to return someday over and take care of every one of their problems. What do you need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Appreciate you being here this morning. I ain't through, but we just going to quit right there.